sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, this road of life have led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. But there's hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear?
Even in the valley, God is still good. Psalm 23. And we started this up a couple weeks ago. And by God's grace, we're going to finish verse 4 today. Psalm 23. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6 and read the entire psalm. But our focus is going to be today on verse number 4. Psalm 23. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Your Bibles should already fall open to that spot. Amen. As we've been there for several weeks. And let's start reading together from verse 1 all the way down to verse number 6. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I made mention last time up until verse number 4, David here has been talking about his shepherd. And you find that down in verse number 2. He says, he maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Verse number 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness For his name's sake, but then he gets personal here in this verse, and now he's turning, and he's not talking about his Savior anymore. Now he's starting to talk to his Savior, and he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And so David said, you know what, in hard, distressing times, I'm not going to be talking about my Savior, but I'm going to talk to my Savior and to let him know how good it has been for him to have me in the palm of his hand. And as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have anything to fear. Why? He's here with me. He's right next to me. He's here. And these are the things that he's doing for me. And so as we look at this psalm today, again, I don't know what valley you are in or what valley you're coming out of or what valley you're about to go into, but I submit to you that you are all going to be in a valley at some point in your life. Either you're in it, you're coming out of it, or you're going into it. God is still your shepherd. If you have been saved by his glorious power, he's your shepherd. And he says you don't have to fear about anything. And David is letting us know about that. And so as we look at this message today, you let God know about the valley you find yourself in. Call him your shepherd and let him shepherd you through that time. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that we could sing even in the valley, God, you're good. Lord, even in the valley, you're faithful and true. You carried your children like you said you would. And you carried us through, Lord, and we're so thankful that we can sing a song like even in the valley. God, you're good. Help us today, Lord. I don't know where the people are at today as far as valleys. I know several illnesses and sicknesses and chronic situations. I know some work situations. I know some family situations, Lord, but I don't know all the deepest things that there is to know. But I'm so glad that my shepherd is Jehovah God, and he knows what every need and every heart requires today. The Lord, through the course of the preaching of your word today, speak to the hearts and the minds of the women, men, women, boys, and girls that are here, that they might be arrested by your Holy Spirit, and they might see their situation is not something that caught you by surprise, or whether they're going into a valley or they're presently in a valley or coming out of a valley. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley, it's something that I will eventually come out of, either on this side of glory or on the other side of glory. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts today. That man, woman, boy, or girl that's not embraced the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they've not been born again. Lord, help press upon their heart with the Spirit's convicting power their great need to be converted today and be saved. And, Lord, I do pray that they might repent of sin and trust on the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For us, Lord, as Christians, walk with us, talk with us today, minister to us. Do through me what I can't do myself, Lord, and let's preach your word. Thank you again for allowing us to meet today. Be with the needs that are plentiful here today and minister to those that need to be ministered to. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Ms. Dawson's got our special.
The title of the song I'll be singing is Your Grace Still Amazes Me. And each time you hear the word grace, just think of God's divine touch upon the heart. Grace. still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
Still amazes me. Amen. I trust that it still amazes you. Never get humdrum with God's grace. Amen. Even though we're saved by that grace. Amen. It's a fabulous and a marvelous grace. And I think sometimes we take it for granted, that grace that God gives us. You know, have you ever stopped to think about the grace that God uses in your life just for one day? I mean, to wake you up in the morning. To get you to the breakfast table in the morning, to get your mind to function in the morning, to get you in the car, to start the car, to have all your faculties to be able to start the car and to drive to a destination and to avert danger and accidents and avert you from this. And we come home in the evening after being out all day and we lay our heads down. And, you know, you just stop and think about the times that God's angels intervened on our behalf and stayed us from something that we were totally oblivious to. That could have happened in our day. We travel these roads all the time, and I don't know about you, but yesterday's soul winning crowd saw that that truck that went through the wall there on Golf Links. You know, and we take for granted that we're going to get to the next destination. This truck went right to next to the Rincon Baptist Church there. Don't know how he could have done that. But you never know what might have happened in his life, and it went right through the wall into someone close to someone's house. Amen. And so, you know, how many times has God averted us? Those of us that text whilst we're driving, how many times has he averted an accident if you're texting and driving? Or even if you're talking and driving, how many times has he averted an accident from you? You know, so God's grace truly, truly is amazing. And I need to get my mic on. I'm okay, amen.
Pastor, amen.
Just going away, amen.
Amen.
But God's grace truly is amazing. And, you know, if you just stop to think about that amazing grace, the same grace that saves us is the same grace that sustains us day in and day out. And God has no shortage of grace. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. So you can't out-sin God's grace. It's always sufficient. It never runs out. Amen. And so I trust that if you've not taken God up on his saving grace today, then you would do that. God wants to save you today. Amen. All right. Saint, am I on? Good? Amen. All right. Good. Well, up to this point, we're talking about David and his shepherd, or the sheep and his shepherd. And we're all the way down to verse number 4. I'll just give you a little background. Verse number 1, we dealt with the position of David's shepherd, and we saw that he is the Lord. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Then we saw as well the possession of David's shepherd. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He made it personal. He's my shepherd. By the way, if you're saved to today, then that means he's your shepherd too. Amen. Then not only did we talk about that in verse 1, we talked about the provisions of David's shepherd. He says, "Because he is the Lord and because he is my shepherd, I shall not want." I don't have need of anything. I've got no lack in my life at all. Then verse number 2, we talk about the production of David's shepherd. David said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Sometimes he's got to force me to be where I really don't want to be, but then he leads me beside the still waters. He not only makes me go where I really don't want to go, that he knows it's good for me, but then he leads me beside still waters. He makes sure I has the refreshing waters that I need to have. And then in verse number 3, we talk about the purification of David's shepherd. He said, "He restoreth my soul." And that means to put him back up on his feet, to give him that which he needs. He strengthens him. Then he leads him in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he purifies him in that way by giving him what he needs and setting him upright and then saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Amen. The paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his glory, and for his honor. And then that brought us up to verse number 4, the protection of David's shepherd. The protection of David's shepherd. And he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And we began to pick that apart last time. We talked about how David is talking about how he's protected through the shadows of death. And with that protection through the shadow of death, we picked it apart a little bit further and said he's protected through the shadows of death in his walk. And he said, "Yea, though I walk." And walk has a variety of definitions in the concordance. It can mean to carry away. So David could be saying, you know, even though I get carried away sometimes, I'm protected. It means to bear, to come away, to depart. Even though I come away or I depart or I follow or I get away or I grow, I have God's protection. It can mean to lead forth or to let down or to march or to prosper or to cause to run, to spread, to take away, or to be in a journey or to be weak. David said, "I have the Lord's protection. Yea, though I walk, I'm protected." I don't know about you. I like that. Yes. You know, I'm glad to know that even though I walk, I've got life insurance. Amen. I'm protected. Something happens to me, that dear precious lady right there is going to be taken care of. Now, I may not be worth a whole lot alive, amen, but I'm worth quite a bit dead, amen. And so I'm glad I'm protected through my walk. And though I walk, I'm still protected. David is saying, you know what? Though I walk in many different capacities in life, I'm protected. There's someone watching over me whilst I walk. I may be weak in my walk. I may be carried away in my walk. I may be spread about. I may do a lot of things. But this one thing I know, I'm protected in my walk. And he said, "Yea, though I walk." So David said, you know what? I'm protected through the shadows of death in my walk. But then also we saw protected through the shadows of death through the valley. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." And I'm glad David said through. That means he expects to come out on the other side. And by the way, if you're in the valley right now, expect to come out on the other side, whether down here or up there, but you're going to come out on the other side. And David said, you know what? I'm just passing through the valley. I'm not going to always be in the valley. And by the way, you're never going to always be in the valley either. You say, but glory to God, this seems like a long valley. It may be. Try walking down through the Grand Canyon. Amen. It's a long journey. But guess what? At one point, you had to enter into that canyon. And at one point, you get to come out of that Grand Canyon. Amen. Worse yet, try climbing up out the Grand Canyon. I told you my story. I went, I think, a quarter of the way down there. Took me 45 minutes. Took me an hour and a half to get back up. Why? Walking up. You know, it's easy going downhill. You get on a sled and go downhill. Now you got to take that sled and go uphill. Amen. Hey, going down is easy. It's going up when it gets tough.
David said, yea, though I walk through the valley. Hey, I'm going through this thing. I am coming out on the other side. It's not going to always be this bad. I'm not stopping, although at times it takes some time to go through the valley. David says, you know what? Yea, though I walk through the valley. And we define the valley. It can be a gorge, a narrow place between two high points, a narrow steep of a walled canyon. By the way, I made this comment last time. Never judge God's faithfulness on the basis of what you see or how you feel. Say it again. Never judge God's faithfulness on the basis of how you feel or what you see. By the way, you could feel bad and be good. And you can feel good and be bad. You can see right and be wrong. Amen. Hey, Jesus said, hey, they be the blind leading the blind. He said they both are in darkness. Hey, he said, be cautious and careful that light in you be not darkness. What am I saying? You may have a wrong perception of God's dealings in your life through your valley. Or may I say through somebody else's valley. You look at him, you say, well, why aren't they doing this? And why aren't they doing this? And why aren't they doing this? And why aren't they here? And why aren't they here? Let God take care of them through their valley. That's God's business. That's not your business. So you can see things wrong and be totally wrong. Never judge God's faithfulness on the basis of what you see or how you feel. Left up to the people that I talk to in Belgium, my wife wouldn't be saved right now because they said she couldn't be saved. I don't know why they would say such a thing about a precious lady like that. They looked at me and thought I was too mean to be saved. Nobody would say that either. I thought I was pretty nice, Brother Serge. Looks can be deceiving. Hey, but I'm glad that they gave me the gospel anyway, despite how I looked and what they thought about my wife. Wait, the gospel still saves. Amen. And so David could trust God walking through the valley. He knew Goliath was temporary. Saul was temporary. Absalom was temporary. All these were temporary valleys that he walked through. And they all were utilized to help him. Goliath helped him. Saul helped him. Absalom helped him. These all valleys helped him. By the way, friend, I submit to you that your valley helps you to walk better for God. And your valley helps you better to identify with someone else that goes through a similar valley. Amen. So David said, yea, though I walk through the valley. So he's protected through the walk. He's protected through the valley. And David had some other things to say. I'm protected through the shadow of death, not just the walk and not just the valley, but now the shadow of death. He said, you know what? The shadow indicates the nearness of something blocking the light. And a shadow in and of itself has no weight. It's just a big burden. Either way, you know, some of the problems that we face is just a big burden. It's just a big burden. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. And we talked about where the shadow was last time. Shadow has no weight. And so David said, you know, first of all, I'm protected through the shadow of death. But then this is where we pick up today. I'm protected through the shadows of danger. David said, I will fear no evil. Aren't you glad to know that you can be protected even in the face of evil? David said, you know what? I don't have to fear any evil. Hey, all you have to do is go out these doors. There's a lot of evil outside these doors. All you got to do is go to your workplace. There's a lot of evil in your workplace. Some of you, all you got to do is go back home, and there's a lot of evil in your home. Go amongst your relatives. There's a lot of evil. Go amongst your friends. There's a lot of evil. David could say, you know what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't know when this was penned. It could have been penned in his shepherding days. He knew there was evil out there on the field. He knew there were predators and prowlers out there. There were robbers and bandits. It could have been in the days of Saul. And he knew that Saul had it out for him, and his men had it out for him. He was running for his life, and we don't know when it was. It could have been when Absalom was after him, but We know this. David said, I'm going to fear no evil. No evil. By the way, if God be for me, who can be against me? God on my side, I'm a majority. And so David said, you know what? Now I'm not protected through the shadows of death. I'm protected through the shadows of danger. I will fear no evil. And the concordance, if you look up the word evil, it means these words. It means bad, adversity, affliction, displeasure, distress, evil favoredness, grief, harm, misery, not pleasing, sadness, sore, sorrow, trouble, vexing, wickedness, or the wicked one, wretchedness, or wrong. And so David saying, I'm not going to fear any of these. I'm not going to fear any adversity. I'm not going to fear any affliction. I'm not going to fear anything that's bad. I'm not going to fear any displeasure. I'm not going to fear any distress. I'm not going to fear any grief, any harm, any misery, anything that's not pleasing, sadness. I'm not going to fear it. Makes you understand why Paul said what Paul said. Paul said, what are these afflictions? It's this lightweight of afflictions. He said, it gets much better in glory. This is just a lightweight of affliction. Heaven is so much better. But David said, I'm not going to fear any sorrow, any trouble, any vexing, any wickedness, or the wicked one. I'm not going to fear them. Why? They can't do anything to me that God doesn't let them do. Amen and amen. Hey, did not God tell Satan, hey, you can get him and touch everything he has? And as Job went through that valley, he couldn't touch Job's life.
He could not.
Satan came back and said, let me put my hands on his body and he'll curse you to your face. And God said, all right, I'll let him go through this valley, but you better not kill him.
Right.
You can't kill
That's
him.
Right.
Now, sometimes I'd wish I was dead. Amen. If I was Job, I'd wish I was. You know, when you got a wife that's telling you to, you know, curse God and die. You got three friends that's trying to mean good, but they mean all bad.
Wow.
And you got no kids left.
Oof.
You got no wealth left.
Yeah.
Your servants think your breath stinks.
Oh,
you got boils all over your body, so you got to scratch yourself with potsherds, it said.
Yeah.
You're already in affliction, and then these friends come in and add more affliction on. Your wife says, curse God and die. I think I'd rather be dead sometimes. But God said, don't kill him.
That's right.
Why? God knew that at the end of this valley, I got something for Job. At the end of this valley, I know what he's going to do. At the end of this valley, I know what turn it's going to take. And Job said, yeah, hey, he knoweth the way that I take. When I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. He said, look, I may be in this valley now. It's close to the shadow of death. It's weighing on me real hard. But God knows, and I'll see my Redeemer. I know he liveth.
Amen.
Though my body worms destroy, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He knew he's going to see God. What happened? Job knew that he was going through the valley. And David said, you know what? I'm protected through the shadows of danger. I don't need to fear any evil. Why could David say that? Well, in Psalm 56, he said it this way in verse 4. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In other words, what David's saying, what you going to do? Promote me to heaven? The worst you can do is send me to heaven. You kill me to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. The worst you can do. Then in verse 11, he said it again. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Psalm 56, verse 4 and 11. And Psalm 112 and verse 7, the psalmist says, he shall not, speaking of the righteous man, the faithful man, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And I believe that was David's claim to fame. Psalm 118 and verse 6 says it this way. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?
Amen.
What's he going to do? Promote me to heaven? Hebrews 13:6 says it this way, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Amen. Hey, folks, if you're going through the valley, follow what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's with me in my walk, I'm protected. He's with me through the valley, I'm protected. The shadow of death, I'm protected. I will fear no evil, I'm protected. The evil can't touch me. The Treasury of David commentary says this about that phrase. David does not say there shall not be any evil. Did you catch that? David did not say there shall not be any evil. Let me encourage you something, Christian. You're going to have some evil come your way. When you go to the supermarket, evil is going to happen. When your kids go to school, evil is going to happen. When you go to your job, evil is going to happen. When you're around your husband, your wife, your children, your daughters, your aunts, your uncles, your friends, your foes, evil is going to happen because men are sinners. So don't put our heads in the sand and say, you know, I fear no evil. There's going to be no evil around me. It's all around you. I was out visiting yesterday, and I told my wife I had read a while back where the guy said, people that smell so good, oftentimes you know that they're not, they haven't been around sinners. And I thought, wait a minute, I don't understand that. I went out visiting yesterday and came back smelling really bad.
I mean, I smelled like a whole lot of things that was going on in the house. And I came out and I said, now I know what he's talking about. I smell like sinners. I smell like a whole lot of filth. Well, I was around a whole lot of filth. And he said, you know what? You can tell when people are out there soul winning, they smell like sinners. They smell like the people that they go around. Now, praise God, I'm glad I don't have to stay that way. My job is to give them the gospel to get them out of where they're at. Amen. And then you have to get that disclaimer, Brother Serge, when you go around people. Now, I know I smell like cigarette smoke. Or I know I may smell like alcohol. I was over here doing this, trying to witness to this person. Sometimes folks don't catch that part.
Hey,
you know what they say? Preacher been smoking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Smell it all on his clothes.
Oh, my goodness.
Preacher been smoking.
Oh, my goodness.
He smell like cigarette. Where he been? He talking about he a preacher righteous. Hey, don't judge by what you see.
That's right. You
might be wrong.
Yes, sir.
You might be wrong. My saying, evil's all around us, amen. He said, David does not say there shall not be any evil, but I will fear no evil, as even if his fears, those shadows of evil were gone forever. He goes on to say this, and listen to me closely. The worst evils of life are those which do not exist except in our imagination. Read that again. He said, the worst evils of life are those which do not exist except in our imagination.
Wow.
Preacher, what do you mean? He says, if we had no troubles but real troubles, we should not have a tenth part of our present sorrows. We feel 1,000 deaths in fearing one. But the psalmist was cured of the disease of fearing. I will fear no evil, not even the evil one himself. The psalmist was cured of this because he didn't dread that enemy. The psalmist didn't have any of those what if moments. What if? You know, what if kills many Christians? What if makes you not soul win? What if makes you not door knock? What if makes you not give the gospel to your neighbor? What if makes you not do it what you do ought to do at work? What if? What if they reject me? What if they say this? And what if they say this? And what if they don't?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
We had a lady yesterday as we were giving out the flyers and things like that. She came up to Mark. Told her, you can't do that. That's not allowed. Mark graciously told her, yes, we can. We have the legal right to do that. And so she said, well, yeah, I'm going to report you. And then he talked to my pastor. And so she came and talked to me. She said, you can't do that. I said, yes, we can. We have the legal right to do that. And she said, well, people around here don't want that. I said, well, ma'am, I beg to differ. Some people do. You may not want the gospel. You may be rejecting the gospel. You may be wanting to put that whole monkey on somebody else's back. But let me tell you, my friend, somebody does want this message. And some people do need this message. And everybody needs the gospel message. Now, because she's upset, she wants to put that on everybody. Amen. And David said, hey, I'm not going to fear those situations. I'm not going to fear those what if moments. Or what if this happens? Or what if that happens? Or what if this, that? David said, you know what? I am not going to fear anything. Why? Thou art with me. Thou art with me. You know why Mark was able to stand like he did? He was equipped with the truth.
Amen.
He knew the truth. I can do this. God's presence is the truth with us. And hey, we can do what God would tell us to do.
Right.
I will fear no evil. You look at this situation. What if moments kill more Christians and they fear evil that is not there? It doesn't exist. It's just in their imagination. How many things have we conjured up? And if this happens, and if this happens, and if this happens, and it cripples us with fear. Don't let it cripple you. Just do what you know is right to do. David said, hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil. Nothing's going to cripple me. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm not saying I'm oblivious to it. I'm not hiding my head in the sand. I'm not shucking my responsibilities. What I'm saying is I'm not going to be afraid of it. I'm not going to back down from it. I'm not going to turn away from it. This is my valley. I've got to walk through it. God said I'd walk through it. I'm going to go to the other side. I'm not going to fear what this valley has got to bring for me because God had meant it for good. I don't care how many men meant it for evil. What did Joseph say? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. David understands the valley. Not only is David saying he's protected through the shadows of death and protected through the shadows of danger, he's protected by the shepherd's dwelling. Notice what he goes on to say. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The reason David will fear no evil is because Jehovah God is his God. And Jehovah God is everywhere. Jehovah God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He's everywhere. He knows all, amen. And he has all power.
So David said, you know what? I'm not going to fear because Jehovah is my shepherd and he is the one I'm not going to fear. He's with me. I was talking about my shepherd before, how the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He does all these things. But then David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. I'm talking to him now. You're with me. So David said, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to quit as I go through the valley. Oh, how many Christians, Pastor White, have quit when they've gone through the valleys? When the going got tough, when the chips were against them and all things seemed to go against them, how David, his own guys went against him in the wilderness there when he's on the run from Saul. And the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, if you have nobody else, you have the Lord. You and God is the majority. David said, I'm not going to fear any evil. Thou art with me. He's protected by the shepherd's dwelling. He has Jehovah God. His presence is there. David would say in Psalm 3:6 when Absalom was after him, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Amen. I don't care how many Absaloms I got.
Amen.
Hey, your own home may turn on you. Your family may turn on you. Your friends may turn on you. Your coworkers may turn on you. Everybody may turn on you. David said, you know what? Even though Absalom turned on me, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. I don't care how many people Absalom's got. I got God. Amen. As long as I got God, I'm good. Amen. Psalm 91 and 5, the psalmist said it this way, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Psalm 3 and verse 24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Isaiah said it this way, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. So David is saying, you know what? I'm walking through this valley. It's got a shadow, and this shadow seems to be death. But I know this shadow's got no weight. I know I'm going through this valley. I know it's not good. I know there's some evil that's going to be here. But I'm not going to be afraid of the evil, for thou art with me. The New Testament said this way, lo, I am with you when? Always, even to the end of the world.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews says, I will never, what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, wait a minute. But I'm going through a valley, God, and I can't see you. I'm still here.
That's right.
But I don't see your presence. I'm still here. I don't see your power. I'm still here. Hey, I talked about you walk down through the Grand Canyon. You can't see anything but the high walls on both sides. You can't see Walmart. You can't see Fry's. You can't see Lucky Wishbone. You can't see McDonald's down there. You say, McDonald's has gone away. Walmart's gone away. Sears and Roebuck has gone away. Dairy Queen has gone away, son. QT has gone away. I can't see him. I can't see Cheddar's anymore, Serge. It's gone. It must not exist. His presence is gone from here. Climb up out of the valley. Climb up out of the canyon. Guess what you'll see? Everything that you thought was gone is there. Never judge what you see by what you see. God could do great things in our lives and we would just recognize that God is there. But in the valley, you can't see that oftentimes. You can't see that he is there. You can't see up top. But the one thing you can do is look up, and he's still there.
Yes, sir, he is.
The sky is still there. One thing that cannot happen, the sky is still there.
That's right, Pastor.
What can I say? The sun is still there.
Yes, sir, it is.
The Son of God is still there.
Yes.
I just have to look up and see the Son of God. Amen. So he said, they though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Thou art with me. And so David said, I'm not going to fear the evil. Why? Because the presence of God is with me. So he's protected by the shepherd's dwelling. Treasurer David says this as a commentary. I like this. The little child out at sea in the storm is not frightened like all the other passengers on board the ship. It sleeps in its mother's bosom. It's enough for it that its mother is with him. What is he saying? He said the ship could be rocking and reeling. The storm could be raging.
Yeah.
And the child in the bosom of the parent is oblivious to all the storm. Why? Mama's here. Mama's here. And I mean, what's going to hurt me? My children tickle me. They get hurt. They want to run to mom.
Yes.
Mom's going to pick them up. She's going to hold them. And everything's okay now. I'm in mama's arms. In mama's arms.
Amen.
I want to ask, first of all, how did it happen? Why is your arm hanging off? Mama said, oh, let me get you and bandage you up. I'm like, how did you do that? And didn't I tell you not to do what you just did?
Amen.
And they're like, look, I don't want to hear that right now. I just need somebody to hold me and help me. I'm hurting.
Amen.
The child doesn't feel any of the danger that the ship is in, the vessel's in. It's asleep in its mother's bosom. It's enough because its mother is with it. And it should be enough for the believer to know that Christ is with him. Even in the valleys, God is still good. Even in the valleys, thou art with me, he says. I have in thee all that I crave to be, and I have perfect comfort and absolute security. Why? Thou art with me.
That's good.
We can go through our valleys, and David said, you know what? I can go through my valleys as well, but I know one thing. I'm protected. I'm protected by the shepherd's dwelling. Paul would say it this way in the New Testament, Acts 23:11. The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. 2 Timothy 4:16. In his latter years, Paul would say this in 16 and 17. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You know what Paul was saying? Thou art with me.
Right.
He said, hey, don't be afraid, Paul. I have much people in this city. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Hey, Christian, are you walking through the valley today? Don't be afraid. Oh, the evil's not going anywhere. It's going to still be there. But you don't have to worry about it. David said, I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000s because it can't touch me unless God has preordained it to touch me. And if it touches me like Job, I'm going to be better by it in the end. We look and say, well, I don't want to be touched by anything harmful or irritable or this, that, and the other. Well, how are you going to grow? You know, the plant could say, well, I don't want to be planted in the dirt. Well, how are you going to grow? I don't want to be plucked from the weed. I want the weeds plucked from me. I don't want to get the sunlight on me. I don't want the water on me. Well, how are you going to grow? I don't want to be dug around and got the parasites off me. Well, how are you going to grow? Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Hey, the evil's going to be there. Now, in Job's defense, I believe his friends didn't mean him any harm. But they just apply the word of God in the wrong way. Be careful, Christian, applying the word of God. Don't apply it the wrong way. You don't know all there is to know because you're not God. But then if you're on the other side of the coin, don't misjudge their intentions as being ill. Job's three friends, I don't think, had ill intentions. They were trying the best they could to solve Job's problem, tell Job what they thought was wrong. I don't think they had any maliciousness in their minds or hearts at all. I think they said, look, Job, based upon what we see, this is what's going on. And Job was saying, look, based upon what you're saying, that's not what's going on. And they would come back and say, well, based upon what we see, this must be what's going on because this is what we know. The problem is you don't know what God knows. Job didn't know what God knew. The only thing Job knew is what I'm going through right now is unfair and it's unjust. The only thing they knew is that you must be doing something that you're hiding from us because you're in sin, it seems like, and God's beating you to death. And neither one of those were correct assertions. And so we look at this. He's protected by the shepherd's dwelling, but then protected by the shepherd's direction. He says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Notice this, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's protected not just by the shepherd's dwelling, thou art with me, but by the shepherd's direction. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff in the Bible are symbols of a shepherd's office. And by them, the shepherd guards and guides his sheep. And David, being a shepherd himself, is well acquainted with the rod and well acquainted with the staff. And sometimes they were separate items, and other times they were one item in the same. The staff end was used for guiding and walking. The rod end was used for guarding and protecting. And if you look at those two, why would David say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, when God does not have a physical rod or a physical staff that David could see? In his shepherding days, he knew what the rod stood for. The rod stood for authority. The rod stood for correction. The rod stood for all those things that go along with guiding a group of sheep. The rod can be likened to God's power or his word or his power and authority. The staff can be likened more to the Holy Spirit's presence to comfort and to guide and to counsel. And David here, knowing what's going on with the rod and the staff, brings comfort to him. The concordance literally says that the rod means to be a stick, whether it's for punishing or riding or fighting or ruling or walking. Or it could be for correction. It could be a dart. It could even be a scepter. By the way, the Bible still says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Same word that David uses when he says, "The rod and staff comfort me." Bible also says this about the rod in Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings the mother to shame." So David is saying, you know what? Your rod, your reproof, your discipline, your chastening, your correction of me gives me comfort. And if I were to ask how many of y'all like God's chastening, God's discipline, nobody would put their hands up. But the shepherd knows it's good for him. The parent, the godly parent, knows that the rod is good for the child. Bible says if you don't, you hate him. Amen. Amen. Much like the rod could direct. The rod can correct us. The rod can be a combat against our enemies. And much like the rod can correct and be used for combat by the shepherd, God's word for David provides correction and combat for him and us too. Go back with me for a moment to the book of Exodus. Remember when God came to Moses in the burning bush? What was the one thing that God said? "What's that in your hand?" You know what Moses said? "A rod." He said, "Throw it down." He threw the rod down. What happened to the rod? It became a serpent. He said, "Then pick it up again." It became a rod again. Do you know that Moses never lifted that rod up to smite an Israelite? He never once used it. Now, all prior to that, that rod that he had, I'm sure, was used as a rod and a staff, the staff part being to help him in his shepherding days to get up the steep hills and to walk up here. Moses is 80 years old, remember, amen? How well would you do at 80 years old, amen? So he's got his staff, and he's going up with that, amen, and doing these things, and an animal comes along, and he uses that same staff, the other end, as a rod to correct and to fight off the other animals that come. Now, the same staff or same rod that he used to throw down is the same rod that he put in the water that became blood. It's the same rod that he raised over his head and called the Red Sea the part. And so whilst it was there to provide for a direction and correction for Israel, it was also to discipline Pharaoh. Same rod. Same rod. And so the Bible says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It is a combat against my enemies. It's a combat to my foes, but it's a correction to me. It is a definite thing of conciseness for me because I need that rod.
That's right.
And by the way, you need that rod.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And so Moses used that rod for all the plagues and all the Red Sea and all through the wilderness. He had that rod.
Yep.
Amazingly, you don't find Moses passing that rod to Joshua. Did you ever notice that? You don't find Moses saying, "Well, Joshua, I'm going off the scene. Here's my rod." He didn't need that rod anymore. What am I saying here? David said, "Thy rod and thy staff." The rod is like God's power, his word, his authority is there to correct me and to guide me, but to combat my enemies as well. The rod could be used for defense and danger as a weapon. It conveyed the idea of authority or power and discipline. It's often used for direction. David talked about fighting a lion and a bear. I'm sure he probably used the rod portion to fight the lion and to fight the bear. Because you can throw a rock at a lion and a bear all you want to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But until you club them to death, amen, he ain't going to die. Matter of fact, Goliath, I don't think, was dead when he hit him. Until he cut his head off. You cut your head off, see how long you last. How many of y'all been hit in the head with a rock? Did you die? You still here.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
You know, they were talking about catching a baseball. Brother Bird talked about catching a baseball with their head.
Uh-huh.
Did anybody ever try that? I didn't try, but it happened just the same.
Oh.
And when you don't have any hair and catching a ball with your bare head, that is not a good, pleasant feeling. But you know what? It didn't kill me. I don't think that the rock killed a Goliath. I think cutting off his head did. And so David had to use the rod here to fight against the lion and the bear. Moses used his rod against Pharaoh's army, but for Israel. The staff, on the other hand, was used to direct, to comfort, and to counsel. The staff, the definition of a staff in the concordance, means it's a supporting or a walking stick. And the staff would have been used by David as support in long journeys. It could be available to lean on or possibly to corral one of the sheep about the neck and to get them out of hard areas. Oftentimes, it was symbolized as a crook. How many of y'all ever seen that? That is unanimously across and universally known as a shepherd's crook. When you see that stick that goes up like that and comes across there, most of the time a shepherd has that. It's a universal symbol. And so Moses, as he has this rod in his hand, it could simultaneously be used as a staff as well. When he held out it and touched the water and turned to blood. When he bought the frogs, when he bought all the plagues, amen. That rod was used for the sheep, but against Pharaoh.
Yes.
And so when you look at David's terminology here, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's looking at the rod from the perspective of being some correction and some direction. Synonymous with God's word and his power. But then he's looking at this staff as the support or this thing that I can lean on. Similar to the Holy Spirit's presence where he's called the paraclete, the comforter, the one that comes alongside of us. Amazingly, the word staff in the Bible, when you look it up, you find it over in Judges chapter 6 and verse 21. When the angel of the Lord came to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord took his staff, the Bible says, and touched the sacrifice and it burned up. What was that? It was a confirmation in a counsel to Gideon that God's in this.
Amen.
It was to counsel him and to comfort him and say, hey, look, I know you're letting out these fleeces. I know you're doing this and I know you're doing this. Hey, it's okay.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I'm here. It's okay. Remember, he called him about mighty man of valor.
Yeah.
Gideon was a chicken, it seemed like.
Amen.
Over in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29, when the young lad had died, the Bible says this, then he said to Gehazi, Elisha, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand. Go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. Notice this. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And you know what happened? The child was restored to life.
Yes.
What am I saying?
Amen,
that staff meant the Spirit's power, the Spirit's presence, and the Spirit's peace. What did David say? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sometimes they were separate entities. Sometimes they were one and the same. Sometimes one end was used as a staff, and sometimes the top was used as a club. And sometimes it was used for the sheep, and sometimes it was used against the enemy. In Moses' life, it was used against Pharaoh, but it was used for the children of Israel. He said, I want you to go over there and tap the rock here, and it's going to bring forth some water. Guess what? Tap, tap is used for Israel, brought forth some. Amen. Remember, Moses took that same rock, rod, and smote the rock twice. And God said, no, that's not going to happen. What am I saying here? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The staff speaks of compassion, care, counsel, and concern. The staff was used to walk with, but also used to bring the sheep closer to the shepherd. The staff was used to rescue sheep who were in hard-to-reach places, and that's why it had that crook around it. If a sheep got into a hard-to-reach area, the shepherd could put that out there and put it around the sheep's neck and bring him back to safety.
Yes, sir.
And that's what it was used for.
Amen.
Wait a minute. If a predator comes, he can turn that thing around and swat at him and club him. Why? Because it was also used as a club. And so God's rod is going to fight your enemies. But God's rod is also a word of correction for you as well. God's staff is that which is going to lead you and counsel you and comfort you like the Holy Spirit would.
Amen.
And that's the peace that passes all understanding as you walk through life. And so David says, yea, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I'm aware of the staff. I'm aware of the rod. I'm aware of what it does. I'm aware of where it goes. I'm aware of what all this means. When Israel was trapped at the Red Sea and there was no way out, God said, hold up that rod. That same rod that he held up parted that Red Sea. He said, hold it up again. That same rod to let them get through in safety closed that thing up and got all of Pharaoh's army. So David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now you'll find many words throughout the Bible about rod and staff, and most of them are very similar in what they say. But David here is looking at this from a practical standpoint. I know God doesn't have a physical rod and a physical staff, but he's got a spiritual staff and a spiritual rod, and it's there to counsel me and to guide me and to give me care and compassion and concern. It's there to fight my enemies. It's there to guide me along the way. It's there to correct me if I need it, and I know I need it, and I'm walking through this valley. There's a shadow that's going around. It seems like it's death, but it's not. He said, I'm not going to fear that evil. Why? God's rod is there to fight those enemies. God's rod is there to fight those fears. God's rod is there to protect me through this thing. God's rod is there to keep me through and going through this. God's rod is there. But his staff is also there to comfort me.
Amen.
Guide
Amen.
Me along the way. Because I can get weary. What did he say? Though I walk One of those definitions meant to be weak. I can get weak walking That's through right. this valley. I can just flat give up sometimes going through this valley. And I need that comfort of the rod to correct me. But at times I need that staff to just carry me sometimes. I need the Spirit's power. I need the presence. And David writing this and reflecting on how good God is and how good Jehovah is. He says, look, I'm walking through this valley. It's a shadow of death. I'm not dead yet. I'm not fearing this evil. Thou art with me. Your presence is there. You've got a rod, a spiritual rod. You've got a staff, a spiritual staff. It comforts me. The word comforting means to sigh or breathe strongly of relief. In other words, David, after saying all of this, says, he said, thy rod and thy staff, it relieves me. Thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. Thy rod and thy staff pities me. Same word means to pity, to console, to ease me. To have a sigh of relief. So he says, your rod and your staff, it pities me. It consoles me. It eases me. It allows me to say, oh, man.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but sometimes I get in the car late at night. Brother Hogg called me the other day. He said, preacher, did you leave church? No, I'm still here, brother. 10 o'clock at night. And then when I got in the car and I started the car up, I text Brother Hogg back and said, all right, brother, 10 o'clock, I'm leaving. I'm going home now. You know what I did after that? I said, it's over. I'm comforted now. I get to go home. I get to see my honey. I get to see my kids. It's over. And I let out that big breath. What David is saying, your rod and your staff, it allows me to take that deep breath and say, it's okay. It comforts me. Sigh of relief. It's over now.
Amen.
I've come through the valley. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I see that it's not as bad as I thought. I look back now, and man, what was I fretting about there? Well, I said I wasn't going to fear no evil, but man, I saw some shadows there. And whew, man, I'm glad that's over. I'm glad that's over. I took G2 to the Pima County Fair with me. We went to that big ride that goes up and drops you down. I forget what it's called. The drop down, I guess. I don't know. And after it was over, G2 said, I'm glad that's over. Son, let's go again. He said, no, thank you, Dad. Hey, sometimes we go through the valley and we like G2. Glad that's over. And God said, let's go again. No, thank you, God. That's okay. I think I learned my lesson. That's okay. I'm good now. I'm good. But God says, don't get too comfortable because we'll be going back through this valley again. Won't be the same valley, but it'll be a different valley for some different things. But I want you to know when you go through this valley again, hey, you're going to walk through this valley. You're going to go through it. You may be weak. You may be tired. And as you walk through this valley, you're just going through for a time, just like Goliath, just like Saul, just like Absalom. You're going through this. You're going to pass on the other side. You may not be able to say anything in this valley. Hey, it may be down, way down in there. You say, where is God in all this? Hey, don't fear any evil. I am with you. He said, thou art with me. Hey, let me tell you something. You may be going through another valley very soon. But David said, even if I do, thou art with me. I'm not going alone. That's why I had the choir sing, even in the valley, God is good. Why? Because even in the valley, God's good. Hey, when you're going through a tough time, you get that. You sing that chorus. Y'all know my chorus. Singing I go a long last road, for Jesus has lifted my load. Hey, when I get in distress, I say, singing I go a long last road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebode. Amen. I'll pick it up. Amen. What am I saying here? David closes out verse 4 and he says, thou art with me through this valley, and so I'm not going to fear any evil. Your rod and your staff comforts me. The rod with its correction and its ability to combat combined foes, combined with the staff with its compassion, care, counsel, and concern, David states, you know, that gives me comfort. You know, David couldn't do any of this if the Lord wasn't his shepherd. You know, the shepherd's not really authorized to take care of anybody else's sheep. He doesn't have to take care of anybody else's sheep but his own. Now, he may do so. But he's only really obligated to his own sheep. Hey, as a father, I'm only obligated to my three children. I'm not obligated to any other child. Now, I may do for them. Hey, when it comes to my wife, I'm not obligated to any other lady other than that precious jewel right there. Now, I may be friendly to somebody or kind to them, but I'm not obligated like I am to mine. You know what? David said, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. He's going to make me do some things. He's going to restore me in some areas. And even though I walk through this valley, I know I'm not going to fear no evil because he's here with me. His rod is there with me. His staff is there with me. And they're going to comfort me. And David could say that because the Lord was his shepherd.
Yes, sir.
May I submit to you today that many call on the Lord as their shepherd and he is not even their savior?
That's right, Pastor, they do.
It's tragic, but it's true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's true, but it's tragic that there's going to be some perishing going on because some people have not embraced the gospel. They've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. They hadn't believed in his death, his burial, and his resurrection according to the scriptures. They've not done that. And although John 3:16 stands out there with God's love, and that's true, the tragedy is that the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a tremendous triumph in that. So although it's tragic that God had to give his only begotten son, it's true that people will perish without that son. The triumph part is I need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so I can be saved. I've got to personalize that. Jesus died for me. Jesus died as me. Jesus was buried for me. Jesus was buried as me. Jesus rose again the third day for me. And I can walk in new life as him if I just believe the gospel. Do you know so many are perishing tragically because they haven't accepted John 3:16? They haven't submitted to the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and the wages of sin is death. They haven't submitted to that. But they'll say the 23rd Psalm. They say, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, thou art with me. He's not. And that's not being mean. That's just being true. Well, I can call on my father, but he's not your father because you weren't birthed by him. You weren't born again. And it's true. And it's so tragic that many, many claim this Psalm 23, never having trusted Christ as Savior. Friend, don't let that be you today. Is it tragic? Yes. Is it true nonetheless? Yes. Is there a triumph? Yes, there is. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should
be saved.
That's the triumph part, but that's the part you got to trust. By the way, you can't see faith. You can't see it. So I say, well, I want to get baptized. I want to do this. I want to do that. No, those are works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. By grace, as Mark said, through faith, you're saved.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, I don't know where you're at today when it comes to the valleys in your life. I don't know how close you are to the shadows of death. But I do know this, a shadow is just that. It's a shadow. It has no weight. And David said, I don't have to fear any evil because you're with me. Whether I make it out of this valley or not, David was confident that he was going through this valley one way or another. We're protected by the shepherd's direction. We're protected by the shepherd's dwelling. We're protected through the shadows of death, and we're protected through the shadows of danger. If we'll only trust in our shepherd. You let God speak to your heart today. Whatever valley it is, let God take you through it. Let him lead you. Let his rod and his staff comfort you. His word is the rod. Have you obeyed his word? Are you letting the word direct you? The staff can be likened to the Spirit of God. Have you let the Spirit of God comfort you? The rod and the staff, they comfort me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, I don't know what decisions need to be made today. But I do know that there are people in this room about to go into a valley. Some are in a valley right now. Others are just coming out of a valley. Lord, we know that David is clear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't need to fear any evil. Lord, give confidence to your people today. Give courage to your people today. When in regards to the evil, it's going to be around them, but they don't have to fear it. Why, Lord? Because you're with us. Your presence is there. Your peace is there. Your power is there. Lord, help us to recognize your rod, that which is your authority, that which is your word, that which is a combat to our enemies, but that which is a correction to us, and thy staff, that which counsels, has care for us, and concern is your staff to us by the Spirit's power. God, help us today to be able to say with David, I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me. No matter how bad this valley gets, help us, Lord, to walk through it. There's one today without Jesus Christ. Lord, help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to repent and believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so they can be saved today. All across this room, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. I'm going to say, preacher, you know, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I think I would, but I'm not quite convinced. Would you pray for me in your closing prayer? I want to pray for you. You raise your hand saying, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I want to be saved, but I'm not sure that I am a Christian yet. I want to pray for you. You slip that hand up. You can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl all across this room. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me, preacher. I want to be saved. I want to be born again, but I'm not sure. Christian, how about you? Are you going through a valley right now? Have you just come out of one? Praise God for it. Are you about to go in one? Praise God for it. Are you in the middle of one? Praise God for it. But don't fear. Don't fear the shadows. Know that the rod and the staff is there to comfort you, not to beat you. The rod and staff comforts. Maybe today you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and give God your situation and say, God, I need your rod today. I need your staff today. I need that correction. I need that concern from a holy God work in my life. My situation is not as bad as David's, but it's pretty bad. And maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Father, bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. As John sings, maybe you need to come this morning. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one that's going through a valley. But whatever it is, would you step out from where you're at? Come and give God your heart. Let God know your concerns. Let him know about the rod and the staff that comfort you.
Away from God.
David, stop talking about the shepherd. Start talking to the shepherd. Maybe you need to come and talk to the shepherd through your valley today.
A pass of sin too long I've tried.
Maybe you need to tell God, I'm not going to fear any evil. The shadow's not going to bother me. I'm not going to fear. Your rod, your staff, it comforts me. Your correction of your word, your staff, gives me some counsel. So God, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go through my valley. I don't know what your valley is today, but God does, because God's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He knows your valley. He knows you're about to give up. He knows you're weak. He knows your situation. Would you come? What is it that God would have you to do? How about a young person? Maybe you need to get saved today. Maybe you've never trusted the God of your mom or your dad. You never made God your God. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you need to be born again, young person. Do you have real faith? Lasting faith? True peace? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I don't know about you, but I need that.
Coming home.
Never more to roam.
Never more.
Would you open your heart wide? Open your eyes wide. See what God has
open
for you.
Wide.
How about it? You need to be saved today. What is it that you need today?
Lord,
this psalm has been a comfort to many down through the ages. Until God comes, takes us home, it'll still be a comfort to many. The Jews are comforted by it. Christians are comforted by it. Unsaved are comforted by it. But the true comfort comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believing the gospel and being saved. How about it? God wants you to come on home. Lord, I'm coming home. Through the valley. David said, I know I'm going through the valley. God have you to do
today. Open wide thine arms of love.
again for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for David penning this psalm for us. Lord, I do pray for that man, woman, or boy or girl that has yet to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Lord, we're not promised tomorrow. Your word is clear. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Help those that have not been born again, that have never trusted Christ, to recognize that tomorrow is not promised. They need to repent and believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, he was buried for our sins after he was crucified for our sins. Risen again after that death and that burial to secure our salvation, Lord. Help that man, woman, boy, or girl to lay hold on the gospel today. The glorious good news of Jesus Christ, that he can be their shepherd, their savior today. Lord, for Christians, as we're going through the valley, it's not going to always be an easy road or a smooth road. But Lord, you promised that you would be with us. Your rod and staff would comfort us. You promised that we don't have to fear. David said, I will fear no evil. Help us, Lord, as we go through it. As distasteful as it may be, help us to go through it, that we may come forth as gold like Job did. And even as our Savior, Jesus Christ, did all the way to Golgotha, to the cross of Calvary, came back with a redeemed body. Help us today, Lord, to do what you have called us to do. Make the decision that you want us to make as we walk through our valley. Help us to do our dead level best to trust you as Savior and fear no evil. Thank you for loving us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White, come on up. Give us any last words. Amen. Don't forget, we've got a game.